November 11, 2018.
It's a Light from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
For Pedro Show. Happy Sunday. Brother Matt, unavailable today, but he will be back Thursday. He did two in a row last week, people. So Brother Matt's finding his groove back and stuff. And me too, with my hand. I don't know if I talked about this, but on August 5th, I woke up and I couldn't use my starboard hand. And about 9 weeks it took before it came back. A lot of working on it and stuff. And then I got stabbed a finger with one of the strings of Deepu's guitars, and it infected it. But then I got that going. So last night when I played with Joe Bison and Brian Christofferson, it was the first time since the summer where I did okay. It's coming back, man. I'm so grateful. We started the show with Mr. PC, John Coltrane, live Stockholm, 1963. Of course, Mr. PC, Mr. Paul Chambers, incredible bass man. And then our guest, because I'm not all man alone here, my Pedro Pat, and besides all the smoke from the fires, I got via the incredible engineers from Estonia with their Skype software, Frederick Kinboom. Fred, welcome again on
hello,
the show.
Hello, Mike.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. I just said,
oh, of course, again.
It's a bit crackly, but
again, right? Because let's see, the last record was the one with the airplane on the chest.
And the Kinboom and Kessler stuff. Yeah, I think it's maybe a year and a half ago. I was lost.
Yeah, well, that's where I want to pick up though, because when we were speaking about that, it was kind of your whole journey through music and stuff. And we've got that done. So let's talk about starting from that point there. After that record came out, you went and did some gigs, right, toured it?
Yeah, exactly. We did some stuff with that. And then I had sort of put my solo project with the Lap Steel, which I now am back into a bit on the back burner, because I thought it was really great to play as a sideman with other people, do Kimbo McKessner collaboration project, and sort of take a little break from the thing, the me thing.
Sure.
And but then after doing two records with Kimbo McKessner and playing touring with other artists, a friend asked me, like, "Oh, are you gonna do another solo album?" And I thought, "Oh, maybe I should." You know, maybe now it's like I felt like I was going around the block and was back at square one and sort of felt fresh and exciting again about that. So that's pretty much what happened. Pretty much when we last spoke, I think. I just got into that after last summer.
Right, it was Slide, which you've been doing a long time, but you also brought in this keyboard, old-timey.
Yeah, exactly, the harmonium or pump organ, exactly.
Yeah,
so
right.
Because I had bought one of those a couple of months before, like a really old, like 110-year-old German harmonium pump organ, beautiful thing that I've been standing like in a home for nuns in Berlin for 100 years, and then ended up in some old people's home, and then,
I think we call a home for nuns a cloister.
Yeah, exactly. I was wondering, because, cloister, exactly, that's it.
Trippy
but
word.
But it was more like a little urban sort of tiny version of that. It
yeah,
like
have you ever been to Manhattan? You've been to Manhattan, right? New York City?
Yeah.
Well, there's a place by the George Washington Bridge, a little north of there, called the Cloisters. And I think it used to be some kind of, or maybe it was for men, but monastery kind of thing. So you found this cloister.
I got it from a guy who had got it from there, pretty much.
Because I was wondering, was it still being played by those nuns in the cloister?
It has been, for like 100 years, and then it ended up in an old people's home where this guy's mother was, and they gave it to her, and then she passed away, and he needed to clear some space, and I got it for 80 euros. And it sounds amazing. It's you know, this old pump organ, I think you say in America more. Here they say more harmonium. It's this terminology thing. But
they're called about the same thing. The thing is, you got to make your own power. There's no listeners out there. You can't plug this thing in. There's no fan. You know, you have to actually be operating it, the bellows, while you're playing it.
Exactly. You're pumping it with your feet. Yeah, and it's And this was quite funny, because when I got this one, I had absolutely no knowledge about these things. And it turned out it was like really on its last breaths, so to speak. You know, so 2 months after that, one of the pedals stopped working. But I actually did some recordings of these sort of out-of-breath swells that were pretty cool that you wouldn't have got if it was in full functioning order. But then I had a great guy here in Berlin. I found like an organ builder who repaired it for me. And then all of a sudden it was twice as loud and was working fine. So
that's why I was asking you, Fred, if it was being used, because it's probably got a lot of leather parts.
And yeah, exactly. And the guy came over here and fixed it, actually. It was amazing, because he took the whole thing apart, basically, here in my home, and come with, like, leather strips that he cut to size and, like, book binders, glue, and just got everything together and put it back together again. And I had to wait, like, a few hours for it to dry, and then it was up and running, like, sounding better than it has in decades, I'm sure.
Yeah, because if it was just sitting there, I would think the leather would get all cracky and crumbly. And so sometimes, you know, instruments, my experience is, I don't know about so much 100 years old and stuff, but if they ain't played, they go to hell faster.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? If they're just sitting. And that goes for almost any of them. It seems, even cars, too. If you ain't driving them, they go to hell. You got to keep them
exactly
out.
It is.
I know some people keep their guitars in the cases and stuff, and I don't know about that. So, you had learned how to play. You said you didn't know anything about harmoniums, pump organs, but you had some keyboard knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. I have basic piano skills. Basically, taught myself to play piano when I was a teenager, and can sort of play piano for writing my own songs, and, you know, I wouldn't go and say hire me as a pianist, but I can play piano and write on the piano and so on. So, but the thing with these things is very different. You know, the
keyboard layout's different, right?
Yeah, it's kind of it's the same, but it's like, you know, you have to keep pumping, and as soon as you let go of the keys, it just the note ends. Whereas the piano, you have sustained pedals and stuff, so it's a little bit backwards in how it works dynamically. But once you get into it, it's like I think I basically use them a lot for textures and drones and things like that, and I think they sound great. I ended up actually getting three of them before the album was finished.
So they got black flat keys and then sharp.
Yeah, exactly.
How many octaves?
5 octaves, yeah. And the bass notes are really the amazing thing with these things. It's really fat bass.
Yeah, I can tell by the album, listening to the album, the big, thick tones that are really special and neat to that kind of thing. You can tell they're not electronically made, you know? They're trippy sounds.
Yeah, it's a very physical thing, because it's all like the hissing, the breathing, and the sort of the air pumping through the reeds, you know? It's a... very, very, very analog.
Also, you hear little knocks and clicks.
Yeah, exactly. It's lots of squeaks and
Lots
of which I think add to it. I recorded it always with 2 microphones in stereo, sometimes 3 mics, and I really like to get those squeaks and cracks, crackles, and those noises too.
Is it heavy?
It really sounds like nothing. Yeah.
Is it heavy? Is it hard to move around? Could you see yourself doing gigs with this shit?
Yeah, that's the thing. I actually found a solution for that, because this one was quite... I mean, you wouldn't want to move that around, even though it can be done. But I did some research, and I found a portable field organ that's actually a U.S. Army organ from the Second World War, which is quite amazing. It must have come to Germany with the American Army in the war, you know, fighting the Nazis. And that folds up, and it's like... 31 kilos heavy and has a handle on it, and I used it on a tour actually playing in another band.
Wow, 31 kilos, listeners, is like 66 pounds. So that's
portable. It's like relatively portable.
Yeah,
right. And I also got a flight case for it, and then of course it's even heavier and bigger. So it's like it's a little bit. I wouldn't, you know, you need a car with a decent sized car for it, and that's the, but. It's a touring. I mean, sometimes it's nice when you do solo things to just be able to get on a train and do a gig. That's not possible with this.
This might sound ridiculous, but what about the idea of like sampling every note and putting a synth?
Yeah, I was thinking of that actually before I found this smaller one. But I think that the charm of the sounds is so much the
absolutely
that you push the air through, you know, and that to be able to control the dynamics with your feet, you know, and sort of come from a quiet note to a louder one,
and that's hard to do. Maybe.
It could probably be done, but it would feel more like a compromise, I think.
Yeah, of course. I'm just thinking about a 5-pound electronic.
Yeah.
Or 8 pounds, something like that. I have the same dilemma with my second man. Pizzo's using this 1963 B3, you know, 240 pounds. You know, it's chopped with legs. But we go and get this Italian Krumar Mojo. It's 38 pounds. Now, it doesn't.
Yeah.
You're right. It is a compromise. But Jesus Christ. I mean, he's a longshoreman. He's a strong guy, but he's getting in his 50s. I want to play here this Manborg's Lament. Is Manborg a town? No, it's a dude's name.
No, that's actually the harmonium. That's the first one I got. It's called Manborg. It was like a...
Ah, that's Swedish, the builder, or the brand.
It's the builder. And that song was very much just like exploring the instrument a little bit and then adding some lap steel whacked with a brush and stuff.
So this album in a way is you finding out by doing.
Yeah, it was very much, I approached it also in a way which I haven't done before, that I wrote one song, you know, did a little demo for it, and when I was happy with it, I recorded it and really sort of searched in those harmoniums, because I got 3 here now, and I used about 5 different lap steels on the album to find the right sounds. And then when I felt happy with one track, I moved on to the next one. So that was sort of how I made this.
Okay, well, this is the signature tune then for the fucking harmonium.
Yeah.
Manborg's Lament. Thank you.
fucking experimental shit, fucking euphoric shit. Also fucking stoner jazz, man. I was feeling that.
Thank you. Fritz von dir, ja. Fritz von dir, ja. Von dir, ja. Fritz von dir, ja. Fritz von dir, ja. Fritz von dir, ja. Von dir, ja. Fritz von dir, ja. 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 Fritz von dir.
Thank you. crush my faith in stagnant time, take my birth in ancient rhyme, hold the place in love divine, true to the test of time, tried and blue, in fact blue too. My faith must last through time, my body sure won't do as well. Beat to hell and lost a battle, one last one for my friend. Nothing to a strong faith too, we are all facing the same thing. My friend's time has come, I have all my strength for him, I will carry through to mine. I believe that the afterlife has neither reward or punishment. Let me go where I can, to run like the sand at the beach, to roar like the ocean at you, to softly settle in like the sun. Let me be the pine trees by the road, that by something for all of my life, let that mean something, all mean something, so much in our friendship alone. My friend has a little empire, and such a life, it is so unfair to lose such a great man. Let us live on in legend after giving what we can.
Well, for Pedro's show, we from Fred's new record, Manberg's Lament. Then we had Stillhouse Plants. Thanks, Jack. And by the way, you know, they invited me to come in February to Cafe Odo in London, but that fell through. So I think I'm going to wait till May or June to go to England. I record with an album of Tripper and do the Chin Wag with Chris up in Leeds. But, yeah, interesting band. Great cats. Dances 5 from D'Antoni Parks. D'Antoni, I'm sorry. Jesus Christ. Incredible drummer, man. Dietrich and Barnes, Mummers. That's John Dietrich from Deerhoof. Jeremy Barnes doing their New Mexico. It's a righteous new record they got. Healers out in Illinois with French Vanilla. Bullets of Balloon from Afghanistan, Dum Da Dum. Kunyet Spetchi, that's a Turkish guy doing Debreli Hassan and Jeremy Barnes turned me on to beautiful music. Joe Brewer, Ann Arbor, no, Madison, sorry, next door. Wash My Face in Stagnant Time. King Champion sounds brand new from Holland with Mirror, the Soul for Laurie Spiegel. Shumsky out Zagreb. Yeah, Noga Dana. By the way, in January I'm going to have 4 different shows. Shumsky, Vec 21, or 21 Vec, Miloman, and Turisti. 4 different spiels, 4 different Balkan bands. Then from Brighton of Emperor's Ice Cream. Oh, and Ned Collette, your buddy, Fred. He's going to be on the show Thursday. And then finally, Fool Vols.
Yes.
Fool Vols, Frederick Kimbu. What's a Fool Vols? Sorry for being stupid.
Well, that's actually, the title is in Swedish, so that's like ugly waltz, it means. So Fool is in Swedish ugly, because it was a, well, the inspiration was a person that was a collaboration work, and this person was not very nice. No one really got on with this person, and the whole thing kind of fell through. And that was my little, what I got out of that experience.
Nice, a tombstone.
Yeah.
With the ugly wall.
The ugly walls, yeah, I thought
the
it was...
ugly wall. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the composition for this album. Because it's you exploring the harmonium, so as you found out more things about it, this led to, like, the tunage. Or did some stuff come on the lap? Because I know Lap Steel is your first thing. Did any of the tunes come from there?
Yeah, there's a couple. It's one called Krummelanke, which is named after a lake here in Berlin, and it's one called Ho Hum. They are very much sort of Weissenborn. I have this baritone Weissenborn acoustic Lap Steel, and they were very much based around that, and the organ had, like, a secondary part. But then a lot of it was kind of blended together, I would say, and often coming from, like, doing some sort of droney stuff on harmonium and adding things. And that song we just heard, that was maybe quite clearly written on harmonium in the sort of waltz thing, and the lap steel comes on top,
What about...
So it was a bit of both, I would say.
What about recording? Where did you record it, Trent?
I recorded it all here in my home studio, actually. And then...
See, that's amazing, man. I mean, it sounds so fucking good. And that's what we can do these days.
Oh, thanks, man.
Right in the pad. Okay, so there in Berlin. And how long do you think it took?
Yeah. I started in July last year, and it was finished in March. So it was like 8 months, writing and recording. And so that, I think, by my standards, that was pretty fast. But I, like I said, I did sort of really one song at a time, because I've done in the past that I have a whole project going, and you know, have so many things in your head. You know, you're going to have strings on that and trumpet on that.
Yeah.
And you never stop thinking. It's always there. So I sort of learned a lesson from that and did, okay, one song and that's finished. I could, if I wanted to, not think about the album for 3 days and then start the next one.
So yeah, maybe sort of, get out of the assembly line kind of thing. And then each song becomes its own little world.
Yeah, exactly, and I think it gets a bit more the attention it deserves, and then when you feel it's finished, then you move on to the next one. That's
right.
That's the
instead of and I mean, there's a lot of ways to do it now, but that's interesting way to do it. And then by doing it in your own pad, it's not like you had to, you know, rent out a studio and cram everything in a week or something.
Exactly, I could really do things. You know, I mean, I had a neighbor problem once, and that was actually when recording this full valse, the one you just played. I did one take on the organ, and it's, you know, it's pretty loud, I would say, but the neighbors are normally cool. But then someone downstairs put on Metallica's Black Album on full blast, and so the letterbox things, like the slots in the door in the whole building, was rattling. So that was the neighbor's approach, saying shut the fuck up.
Yeah, in the old days, what they would do here was they'd get a broom and, like, boom, 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 boom with the overhead.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the same guy here has also been whacking the heating pipes at times, you know, but normally it's been actually working quite well. So I can't, you know, complain too much about the neighbors. But then, of course, the thing was, my philosophy is a little bit, it's nice to be able to record in your own space and time, but then get someone to mix it. Someone else to mix it and someone else to master it. So it sort of goes through other people's ears and what they
think. Yeah, different perspectives.
Because
I guess you can get lost inside yourself. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do you, when you get down another mixer, another master, another set of ears, we say, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So you sort of filter through. And the guy who mixes is called Joe Talia. He also mixed and co-produced the Ned Collette stuff, and he's great. And he's in Tokyo, actually. He's from Melbourne, but in Tokyo.
Okay.
And and that was also quite cool, because then the time difference, you know, he would have done a mix, and I wake up and I say, some new mixes from Joe, and it was nice to work with him. And then another guy mastered it, so I liked that sort of...
Well, how'd you meet him? Collaborating?
Oh, yeah, it was through Ned Collette, then, because I've been playing bass with Ned Collette in his European band here for since I came to Berlin. Basically.
Ned is Australian.
Yeah, exactly. And he and Joe, who did the mixing for my album now, and Ned's albums, they've been working together for ages. And, you know, Ned has also done this approach. I mean, you will talk to him next week, I believe, but so he can tell his own story. But I trust him because the work is done with him, basically. And then I'm with him, too. He's a great drummer, too. So I felt a natural approach to ask him. He did the second Kimbo McKesson album too, and he did a great mix for that. So, yeah.
And who mastered?
Highly recommended mixer, I would say. Yeah.
Much respect. And who mastered?
The mastering was a guy in Australia. It was also funny because I always seem to go for different mastering. It's like, even if I like things, I seem to be curious. And I thought, since I recorded here, I like to sort of have tape involved at some stage. And another Australian friend, he has a band called Augie March in Australia, and they had done a new record that they recorded with a producer called Tony Cohen, who unfortunately passed away last year. But it sounded really great, that album. There was, of course, a recorded a tape and everything. And then I just looked who mastered it, and I found this guy called Joe Cara at Crystal Mastering in Melbourne in Australia.
Yeah.
And I just sent him an email, and his quote was sort of worked with my budget, and he has a tape machine, and that was sort of, you know, and yeah, I'm really happy with his work too. So.
Yeah, he did a good job. You know, we lost two other Australian musicians, Spencer P. Jones and who's the bass man? Oh my God.
Yeah.
For the Beast of Bourbon, you know.
Oh, yeah. And Conway Savage.
Yes, that too, from Nick Cave. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, November 11, 2018. This is Wofford Pedro Show. Special guest, Fred Kimball. Hang tight for hour two. November 11, 2018. It's the second hour. Wofford Pedro Show.
Not up on your hip, it must mean that they have not enough driver, enough skill. Now that you have everything, everything money can buy, what will make your senses sing? What will make you cry? Throw shit on those below, deal them another blow. Watch as they are running round, killing their own kin. Why do you think your wife chose to be in your life? Was it all your greenish war, so your sagging double chin? The beauty from within, those greedy stone cold eyes. Thank you.
had a name, but now they call me Graffiti Finger.
Canvas.
I thought about the image of the Lexus convey.
Pink Lucifer splash.
Smart whiplash.
Honest ideas.
Paul Slayer's hate. Pimp the show.
On stage we should shine.
Together we'll glow.
And the color of the rainbow.
My head was in the cloud.
Deep concentration.
Lost in my
imagination.
From heaven fell a meteorite.
A strange origin.
And met a colorful sight.
When it crashed down
into my aerosol. Clash of my cloud.
Shrapnel mixing balls.
A psychedelic mutant. Once a man, now a polychromatic savior. Sent to save the world from apathy, monotony, and disinterest. Go get him, you graffiti finger.
Yeah. Those who can supply material for your ladder to the sky. Stalk them quietly while pretending that you just happen to walk by. Whisper in their ears the words they like to hear while keeping your cool. gently guide and steer them to get near them and their precious tools. She is queen and so she has position and her favor people seek. Friends, my lad, she can't hear what they think, only what they speak. Their lips make pretty shapes, but what escapes them when she's there is not the truth. Eyes on other own pleasing skills they own, as reliable as you. Oh, oh, oh. City's freaks come out in force to see him sway and hear him sing. Doesn't matter if he does it well or not, to them he is the king. Rather than admit he sometimes fails, all the choir boys proclaim. Guest list and at his table they remain. Oh, 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 oh,
for Pedro Show. Started the second hour off with The Wealthy Toad from Frederick Kimball. What can you tell us about The Wealthy Toad?
Well, The Wealthy Toad is kind of, I thought of the policymakers in this world who quite often are old white men with lots of money, and I also always wonder why they make so many decisions that seem to just be stupid for everyone, like selling off something and dumping waste in a natural heritage place, something like that. And I just thought, when you have money, when you have everything, do you need to do something that fucks things up for other people just to have something happening in your life? There's a little bit thoughts of that. And there's a line in there as well, this, why do you think your wife chose to be in your life? And yeah, that I think they often have younger, beautiful women by their sides. Yeah.
Just a coincidence.
So there was a little bit of that. Yeah, exactly.
And then we had Roosterhead doing Graffiti Finger, David Gerard with Improbable Entropy. And finally, because I thought this one kind of went with The Wealthy Toad, Pawn Queen King, Frederick Kimball. Yeah, so, yeah, you got your king and your queen, and then us, the pawns.
Yeah.
No, because I find it interesting, the lyrics and stuff, because it seems the first impetus for this album was, yeah, investigating the harmonium. But you have an interesting way of, I think it's because you're multilingual, too. You have a good way of making this kind of serious things, very musical. You know.
Oh, thank you. I mean,
I call poetry anything that ain't prose, you know. So even lyrics, you know. So congrats on that. Really.
Thank you. Thanks.
Had a good success. You ever think about singing in Swedish?
I've done sometimes in the past. It's like when I was really young, I did that in a way, because then I still lived in Sweden, and I thought it's, you know, because English is kind of the language of international music and stuff, sure. But I always think it's a little bit funny when you live your life in Swedish and you sing a song in English, and then like Swedish artists also in Sweden talking in English between Swedish between the songs, and then they sing in English and then back to Swedish. So I felt like, oh, I'm a Sweden, I should sing in Swedish. But then I lived abroad now for 19 years, I sort of think in English, I dream in English, so I sort of feel qualified to use it. No, I don't know. It feels natural to me. But I sometimes, there was one, the first time I did like a Lap Steel album, which is like back in 2009, there was one song that has felt very Swedish, and then I sang it in Swedish too.
Okay.
And I play that in many countries live, and in a set where the rest of the songs are English, it seems to work fine. People kind of think it's exotic or something.
No, this stuff out of Korea, K-pop. These guys are singing Hangul. I mean, they'll bring in a word like baby or something like this, but like 90% of it's Hangul, their language, and it's very successful. Maybe it's the dancing that goes with the guy liner. But I thought that was pretty trippy. Because, the main thing to do, lingua franca, right, common spiel. Yeah, and also it makes it a lot easier for all your friends in Australia to know what's going on.
Yeah.
But this phenomenon of K-pop, for example, I don't know how big over there in Germany, but in the U.S., we actually had one of these bands, BTS, go to number one on the Billboard chart. And, most of it's Hangul. You know, there's some baby and rock and stuff like that. But mainly they're singing. That's a trippy thing about that. Here, I want to play the tune you were talking about that came via the Lap Steel first. It's Krumalanka. It's a, it's a lake there in Berlin, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
all my sweat and dreams and toil vanished with me somehow. Down in the Minnesota soil, I rest for 90 years now. I can see you all up there. You don't even know that I was. Unlike so many today, can't you see that they are me? You would allow me to stay.
For Pedro Show, yeah, that was Krumalanka, Frederick Kimball. Then we had Yokozuna with Join the Club, Oro Taichi with Future Lena, Devin Flynn with Count Rockula. That'd be the worst title ever, but it's good music. But don't call it Count Rockula. And then finally, Fred Kimball with Sweet Hollow, because off the air, people, we were talking about things like ABBA. And so I was wondering about the Sweet Hollow.
Yeah, that's quite... It was the last lyric I wrote for the album. And it was a book by a Swedish author called... he wrote a book called Sweet Hollow. And Sweet Hollow is actually a valley in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Ah, yeah. But we got a lot of people
Swedish
with roots
immigrants,
back
basically.
In Sweden. Yeah, right. A lot of people with Swedish roots live up there. And it was probably
cutting out there a bit, Mike.
Yeah, that's the way Skype is. You can't really talk at the same time. What I was trying to say was Minnesota's got a lot of people with Swedish roots, but the people that ain't Swedish probably called where they lived the Sweet Hollow.
Yeah. Yeah, and they actually ended up, because nowadays in Sweden, when people associate Sweden with like... everything is nice and environmental friendly and blah, 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 and ABBA and IKEA... but back then, the Swedes who arrived there in the urban slums, they were not, were met with lots of prejudice from other European settlers. And
absolutely.
It was like, I read an article that was a German guy writing home and saying, oh, we're only 3 white people in this work team in the forest, the rest are Swedish. You know, and they said the Swedes were dumb and smelly and they couldn't speak proper English. And so they basically landed at the bottom and lived in this valley called Sweet Hollow. And it was a very interesting book. And I just thought also now when immigrants are coming from other places and to Sweden, and to just think that Swedish people have also been in this situation not that long ago.
It yeah. was
like 110, 120 years ago. So
well, here in San Pedro, sort of, and, you know, I'm sorry. In San Pedro, the old days, a lot of the sailors were Scandinavian. A lot of those were Swedes. Huge. And so we
mm-hmm.
we even have a Svergi house, you know, from the old... I think it's a halfway house now for people trying to get clean.
Oh, yeah.
But in the old days, a lot of the sailors... So we had some, too. And I know... Yeah, isn't that weird how you forget the lessons that your ancestors somehow didn't get down to you, that, you know, we share a lot of these experiences and we should like make progress on it instead of rerun after rerun of the same sick behavior, maybe.
Exactly, yeah, that you can have empathy and think like this, the person arriving in this country could be me arriving in another country, you know, it's like... especially since, like in the U.S., I mean, most people have, I mean, everyone almost has an immigrant background of some sort, and Swedish people emigrating because it was bad times in Sweden, you know, we need to not forget these things.
Right. Do you know of a guy named Joe Hill?
Yeah.
He lived 2 years in Pedro. He came up with this thing called the Little Red Songbook.
Oh.
Yeah. He's a big part of the labor thing about 100 years ago. He got... killed mm-hmm. by the state of Utah for some weird kind of murder drama. Joe Hill. And him and his brother, you know, very instrumental. There's a part of Sweden in Pedro, is what I'm trying to tell you. So we might be a little more connected, Fred, than you think.
Yeah.
Which is a righteous thing. What about, and then also I was thinking of Hollow, the famous Hollow here. As far as literature, is probably the legend of Sleepy Hollow, right? Ichabod Crane and the Jack-o'-lantern, Headless Horseman.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That, I don't know actually what, because I think the Swedish people there, they call it Svenska Dalen, which means the Swedish Valley.
Okay.
And then maybe locals with better English call it Sweet Hollow. I don't know. I was also, when I saw the title first, I said, what's Sweet Hollow, you know? But then I read the book and did some research about it, and then
kind of a northeast word for like a slight valley, a hollow's
border. Exactly, yeah.
And even when you hear somebody in Minnesota whose people have been there a while, it's Minnesota. And when I used to think, oh, that's because they're close to Canada. But no way. It's actually close to the Swedish kind of accent. Minnesota.
Yeah, wasn't it that film, the Coen brothers film
Fargo.
Years ago called Fargo?
Right, which is North Dakota, it's right next door.
Yeah,
they say, right, they do. They say, yeah, and that's right next door. In fact, it's right on the border. We're at the end of the... second hour, November 11th, 2018. November 11th, the 11th hour of the 11th year. No, 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month is World War I ended, right? It's 100th anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good thing. Anyway, with Frank Kimbo, special guest, hold tight for hour three. November 11th, 2018, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
But my circumstances are
not the best right now, so until I metamorphose, I'll plot my great escape from here. One day it will come, I swear. I'm just gathering my strength. Yes, my destiny is clear. I wasn't born to serve, no. My back is straight, my fists are clenched. Cleaning hotel rooms for you whets my appetite. Is not so straight now, but my planet's alive and well. On the inside I build vast monuments and bridges. Who are you to judge and tell? Me, they're only in my head. They are quite real, I tell you, like your debt and your dessert. Each night as I lie in bed with all the great explorers, nothing aches and nothing hurts. I am immortal, I am strong. Digit in a chip, and this land is my land. Yes, it is.
Thank you. もありがとうございました。
Faith is a way of arriving, like an unexpected call. Your God has a plan for you, my dear. You found him as you recall. When you wished for a crystal fruit bowl for Christmas all those years ago, no one knew and you told no one. Your brother comes, lo and behold, he gives you a crystal fruit bowl. His wife's vision in the morn led you to a life of prayer. In your world, God looks after all.
Live from Pedro Show. Yeah, I never heard so many Connecticut jokes until I spent a little time in Western Massachusetts. So, okay. Yeah, we started the third hour off with Monuments and Bridges from Fred Kimball. Tell us something about this tune here, Fred.
Yeah, that was Harmonium number 2, the one from the 1920s that I found here when the first one was broken. And I just came up with this droney thing. You know, it's quite monotonous. And then I added some E-bowed lap steel on it to make it even more droney.
Yeah.
And it felt like a good sort of, it's the first track on the album, and it felt like a little bit of a statement of intent or something about the album and the lyrical theme too. Yeah.
A statement.
And it was one of the last ones that I recorded. Yeah.
It was one of the last ones, but it ended up being the first one. Okay. Very interesting. Then we heard Recording a Meeting number 2, Emma Foam, Sawako with Kazuya Atsumoto, and then Crystal Fruit Bowl, Frederick Kimball, which is trippy because a couple days ago was Kristallnacht, like 80-year birthday or whatever. I don't know, anniversary.
Yeah, which was also, incidentally, the release day of my album.
Yeah, right.
I thought about it. It was all sorts of...
But this has nothing to do with
it. It was like a crystal night. No, so that was 8 years ago. It was 100 years since there was like a revolution here in Berlin. And it was 29 years, I think, since they first opened the borders between West and East.
Right.
Berlin.
Okay.
And that was all on this date, which I had not... Even though like I'm a bit of a history geek, I hadn't thought of that at all when the release date for the album was set.
Oh, wow. Just coincidence.
But that song is actually a silly, true story about someone who found God through wishing for a crystal fruit bowl for Christmas, but not telling anyone, and she received it, and therefore she thought it must have been God.
Okay.
So I thought that story was quite funny, and just that was, yeah, that was the song. So not sinister.
So you, what you like to do as far as your composition is you capture a moment, and that seems to be fertile, so you can yank a tune out of it.
Yeah, and it's quite funny as well, because I just talked to a friend about this the other day. I think when you're in the process of writing something, like making an album, and as I did, sort of writing it as I went along, then it seems you're very in a creative mood and capture the little ideas very carefully. But then sort of I finished the album and mixing it, and the last few months have been a lot of the sort of admin stuff of getting it released and everything. And then you sort of maybe switch that off a little bit. So now I'm actually looking forward to switching that on again and starting writing more things again, because the last few months have mainly been sort of organizational things about the album. So.
Right.
But that was a good time to just have this kind of open mind while working on writing and recording and...
Okay.
And I think they're quite spontaneous, all the compositions. It was not like they were quite easy to write, most of them, you know.
What about this next one here? Yeah. Ho-Hum.
Yeah, that was like I said before, that's really much a Weissenborn lap steel song that I came up with. And then the song, I guess, is a little bit about life choices, you know. One person is an artist, sometimes struggling a little bit with the financial stuff and everything, and then you can look at the other person who's eating nice dinner in a nice restaurant but who works in advertising, and you think, what choice did I make? And then maybe, yeah. But to be happy about the choice in the end. I think that's it has a happy ending, I think.
Okay, let's listen.
In the bank,
and no one else to thank for trying to fly the bird like a friend said. At 7:15 they start drilling. You wonder if that's more fulfilling. Than this hole and hum. In circles you all run. You drag and heave and push, but nothing, in here. The moments that feel clear are few and far between. You look up. The food they eat seems appetizing, but they all work in advertising. Remember old Bill Hicks, whenever all those tricks might tempt you. at court. My errant imagination as a boy. Oh boy, I thought that space is a hole in time where all can flow. People come and go through that hole. Back and forth as they please.
For Peter, show last music for this edition. Frederick Kimball doing Ho Hum, the contrast between life choices. Then Joaquin A, Gathering Punks. I'm actually in this live performance here. Well, it was in a studio, but there was like 30 dudes. Yeah, it was huge. It was maybe 7 years ago. and a big jam. Really good people. I'm glad I've got that kind of document from that experience. And then finally, the cinema behind the bakery. And people, Fred hit me to the fact that this is actually where Holger lived. This movie theater. And where,
yeah, exactly. The bass player from Can. Yeah. I was writing this song and recording it. That was very much a recording and writing at the same time. And then I just saw the news that he had died. And I thought of this song in particular of theirs called Tango Whiskey Man.
Yeah, sure.
That is like one of my favorite recordings ever. And it has these big gaps in it, like these stops that are so beautiful. And I just thought how this music recorded can transport you somewhere still, you know, many, many years after it was recorded. So there, that was the end. The title came from that, and some of the lyric too.
Yeah, it's trippy. Musicians influence each other, even when they're gone or they're going.
That's kind of what I thought about, how someone's recordings left behind, who's a very personal thing left behind, can inspire people who have never met them, and that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Fred, where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, my website is frederickkinbom, KINBOM.com, and the album is out on Sotones Records. It's a UK label from Southampton, and you can buy the vinyl on my Bandcamp, so if you search for Songs for Lap Steel and Harmonium, it's the name of the album, and it's everywhere on the digital places, okay. Of course, as well.
People, let me spell the URL so you can get there, FREDRIKKINBOM.com. Go there,
that's right.
Find out about Fred. Are you going to tour?
Yeah, first starting off with here in Berlin with an album launch gig on the 29th of November at a place called, in German, Rotbart. So if anyone is in Berlin, come to that. And then there's some dates shaping up now for next year. We have, I think, 21st of February in Eindhoven in the Netherlands. I'm going to build something around there. And then in some UK dates, maybe Netherlands and Belgium too, sort of shaping up, but not really confirmed. But it will be on the website when they materialize, when they're confirmed.
No plans for over here?
I would love to, but not in the immediate future, but it would be great, you know. And then I would probably try to source a harmonium locally. I don't think I would travel over with one.
That's right. It's like pizza trying to get that fucking Hammond on an airplane.
Yeah. But it's great because that Portland one, it was made in Vermont, you know, so I think there are quite a few of them around in the U.S. So
Yeah, there are.
It would be great. I would love to come over.
So, and I got to ask you about the future. Are you already thinking of the next record?
Well, it was actually quite nice to not think of a record for a while, but I was just on a tour playing bass, actually.
Wow.
With Ned Collette, Australian guy, with also Joe Talley, I mentioned, the mixer man on drums, and Chris Abrahams from The Necks on piano, and he's fantastic.
That's great.
So that was great. So that was like another adventure out there playing someone else's music. And but I think now just touring these songs, touring the Kimbo McKessler stuff, and then when the time feels right for but starting to write stuff, but probably wait a little while. Sit down and record.
You know what Orson Welles said in his last commercial, right? No wine before it's time. It's been a real honor to have you on again, Fred. When you get this,
the honor is all mine, Mike. Thank you so much for having me again.
Then. And when you come out, when it's ready to make another one, let's talk again and talk about that, okay?
Yes.
And I wish you good luck on these gigs, okay?
Cheers, man.
And rock that harmonium.
People,
November 11th, 2018 edition Walk for Pedro show, special guest Fred Kimball. Keep your powder dry.